flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11 o'clock. Four lines wide open for you, unless you're all herkle-derkling, as we heard about a thing. If that's the case, we're never going to hear from you. But otherwise, if you do have something you want to talk to us about technology-wise, we're here. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we've talked about so far has been posted over at our Facebook page, over the Computer Talk with Tab listener network. You can join it. It's a private group. But we'll let you in. We just don't want a bunch of spammers getting in there. So we have to just approve you as you go through. We don't sell you anything either. Trust, we have no desire to sell you anything. No. And then, of course, computertalkwithtab.com will have the links to eventually.
Yep. They will be there.
So as we wait for your calls, anything you want to talk about there, Dennis, as far as this Fortinet issue?
Well, Fortinet is in the news again.
Again, I know.
It seems to be like every few months we hear about some kind of an exploit that's been unearthed in their routers and switches.
Yep.
And I don't know, if I were somebody who had Fortinet equipment in my network, I think at this point I'd be pulling it. They will come out and patch the problems when they hear about them, but it seems to be something that just keeps happening.
Pretty regularly, yeah. Right now, there's a 50,000 of these firewalls that are still vulnerable to a zero-day vulnerability. So,
well, part of that is because somebody hasn't updated them completely yet.
Right.
And that's another issue, but, I mean, just the amount of times that I'm reading about them, just every few months, it's getting ridiculous.
The thing about this that should give you pause is these are findable devices, right? They're using a tool like Shadow Server Foundation is showing 48,000 boxes are still publicly exposed and haven't been patched. And the way they can find this out is they leverage the vulnerability and they ask the Fortinet firewalls out there, hey, you there? And they're like, yep, we're still here. Come ahead and hack us. Come on in. So basically, it's there, it's preventable, and people don't do it, right? So in this case, a lot of the folks in Asia, I guess, are the ones that haven't done the updates.
Yeah.
They're the biggest culprit. But North America and Europe have 12,000 in North America. So there's a lot of geeks here in America that haven't done anything, and then 7,000 in Europe.
Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, if you're a sysop out there, why aren't you updating these things?
It's not good that you're leaving them open.
Come on. Mm-hmm. I get it. Updates break stuff. I get it. But just pull up your pants and do the work.
Update. Yeah.
Come on.
What would be worse if somebody breaches you?
So. Well, right. I mean, you're going to have what? Maybe half an hour of some kind of an outage.
Right.
You fix it and then you move on. Otherwise, you're risking, a cyber attack that can take you down for weeks. Come on.
Well, speaking of cyber attacks, I don't even have the article in front of me, but I wanted to talk about it. Power schools. We talked about it a little bit.
We have discussed them.
So Power Schools, right on their front page of their website, says we are a cloud base. They loud and proud about being in the cloud.
Because the cloud is great.
Loud and cloud. Hey, we are proud to be in the cloud. Good for you. Good for you, PowerSchools. And thanks to that, whoever had your software has been breached. Their data has been exposed and exfiltrated. So my question, as a model, so guys, you got to understand why companies like PowerSchool do this cloud concept, right? It's all for them to make some more money here. But when you put your stuff in their cloud and then they rent it back to you for a premium, by the way, it's easier for them to maintain the software and the operating systems that are maintaining those cloud servers because they're not dealing with six different flavors of it out in the wild.
Right.
Okay. But you're one homogeneous target in the cloud.
Right.
If you had a bunch of servers in the schools like they used to do, mm-hmm. you wouldn't have your entire base of customers impacted by your lack of security.
Right. You would have one breach
at
one server somewhere.
Right.
And that's it. And that's bad enough.
It is.
But it doesn't, it's
not
when you have the cloud,
base.
All it takes is one breach and then all of those customers are compromised.
Right. So this whole concept of the cloud architecture is wonderful, right? As a geek, I understand why you want to do it, why you want to sell it, how it's easier to maintain. But you also most likely promoted that it's easier to secure and you're going to make sure everything's protected because you're so advanced and you've got such advanced data centers and you've got smart people. And you poor guys that are setting up these things in the high schools in of your own little towns there, you're just not sophisticated enough as us to protect
right.
these things. So you want to put it in the cloud. I would contend you really need to rethink this cloud concept, guys, because when you're moving your stuff out there, we just had a really large manufacturer pull some stuff off the cloud again recently.
Oh, right.
And it's for these types of reasons, because CDK, you couldn't sell cars if you're a car dealership uh-huh. with your CDK software in the CDK cloud because CDK got ransomed. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, ECHN's had some issues with that type of thing as well. I mean,
True.
That whole network was impacted. So maybe, just a thought here, segmenting your systems and offering these services as local services, because just so you know, right, servers, they're still a thing.
Yeah.
And they're less complicated than ever. And it's not that hard to deploy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist. And now, not your entire base is not a target. The bad guys have to specifically go after that entity specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot more work.
It's more work for the bad guys, yes.
Yeah. So I don't get it. I mean, yay, you're a cloud company. Good for you. I mean, I would say, I don't know. You're a nice big target. Let's go to Jack in Torrington next. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Couple questions for you. Lately, I'm getting a dramatic increase in pop-up ads.
Hmm.
And it seems to be anytime I'm on, like this morning, I was paying my taxes on the Connecticut website. And all of a sudden, you got a pop-up that some ad agency or tax-paying agency or whatever.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful because if you don't hit the wrong X, you wipe out what you were doing. Any way around this nonsense?
I would look to see if you've got any browser extensions that are probably throwing those ads. There are tools that you can download that will get rid of those. You can also just
ad blockers.
You can get ad blockers that will help, but I wonder if there's an extension that he's got that's actually generating it from inside the computer.
Right. You already
inside
went
the browser. Or maybe installed some software that stuck it in there on the side,
mm-hmm.
on the sly,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of a scam in itself, but that's another issue.
Yeah.
I would look at the browser extensions that you've got. What do you use? You use Chrome or Edge or Firefox or what?
Typically Edge.
All right. We can post a link to tell you how to look at those browser extensions, see if there's anything unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is, you can disable it or remove it and then see if
great.
It gets rid of those. And then the other thing you can do is get yourself an ad blocker extension, and we can post a link to one of those too. Okay.
Your postings are great. They're very, very helpful.
OpenDNS. Have you tried configuring that too, Jack?
That too.
No.
So OpenDNS, if you have time to configure it, it will definitely reduce this type of stuff as well. It'll reduce the chances of you coming across it and implementing it on your system by accident.
Okay.
So it's an important aspect of your security, and it's not too hard to configure. It really isn't. So we put those instructions on our site many, many, many times. I guess we can do it again.
It is already on the site.
Okay.
We just perpetually leave it there.
Good. So go read the instructions on how to configure OpenDNS, and you will definitely reduce your traffic. Now, again, if you have an extension pushing it into you, it still won't prevent that. But if you get rid of the extension, the chances are going to then be reduced that you'll come across those types of things again as you surf.
Very good. Okay, I will wait for those posts.
All right.
And part two of my question is, how do you back up your start menu? Windows 10, Windows 11. I got a lot of stuff on there. And every now and then, Windows and their infinite wisdom decide to move them around on you or something. But at any rate, I'm in the process of switching to a new computer. Bought a nice little HP. And lots of things I have in my primary computer, I ultimately want to move over there. But is there an easy way to back up just your start menu?
Specifically, no.
Right.
I mean, the start menu is a feature of Windows.
Right.
So if you're backing up the whole computer, then it will be backed up.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no way that I am aware of to specifically back up just the start menu and restore it if you need to.
You can take notes and note what you've got in your start menu that when you configure the new machine, you set it up similarly.
The other issue is that the start menu itself is searchable.
Mm-hmm.
I almost never travel through the menus of the start menu.
Mm-hmm.
I just type in what I'm looking for.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I just kick it off when it comes up.
Right.
And if that is what you're doing, then how they're nested within each other doesn't make any difference anymore.
Right.
Because you're still getting to Microsoft Word, if let's say that's what you're trying to start, whether or not it's under a Microsoft Office menu or an Office menu or however it's located, doesn't make any difference. You're just going to launch it.
Right. And you can't transfer it anyways. You have to reload your software anyways. So just having the menu information is not going to be helpful without the software loaded on the new machine.
Okay. But these are actually websites that I've saved.
Oh, so you mean your bookmarks.
Start menu, bookmarks.
You mean your bookmarks in your browser.
Yep, I guess that's what I mean.
There you go. Okay. That's different. That can be done.
All right. You can export your bookmarks at any time.
Yeah.
And we can post a link to that, too.
And that does make sense.
Right. That makes perfect sense. And it will just save it as a single HTML file. And if you want to re-import them, you can do that at any time also.
But you just got to put it on something to re-import it from.
Right.
So, but that's easy.
Very good.
We'll put a link there for you.
Very good, guys.
All right, Jack.
Thanks so much for what you do.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls here. But Jason out there in East Heartland, hang on. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we have three lines open for you. Feel free to get online, but we're going to go right to Jason in East Heartland next. What's going on, Jason?
Good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
What's up?
I have a question on security cameras for the home.
Mm-hmm.
With known Ring and some of these other guys are owned by Chinese companies, I worry about installing security cameras that might be hackable and linked to Chinese government. So I wonder if you guys had any recommendations.
Well, that's a real almost impossible one.
It is almost impossible. The all of the possibilities that we could give you would require you to set up. You'd almost have to set up either a local DVR or a server to manage the video in order to be able to then retrieve it from outside elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's why a lot of these services are doing what they're doing. They're using the cloud, because it's just a quick and easy way for them to get around that limitation mm-hmm. and not put you through all that work. To be truthful, I mean, it is a very quick shortcut and it's very convenient. So why not, right?
Yeah.
But we don't have any specific brands that I'm aware of.
I can tell you what, you know, I use RealLink. Very reliable cameras for years, but the same problem exists, right? I could be looking at my cams and so could Xi Jinping. I don't know. If he wants to see the backyard, he can see the backyard for all I care. But that's not a good attitude. Yeah. I mean, it's not a good attitude, right? We get complacent, and you're right to be concerned. And
sure,
the back doors that are most likely there, how hackable is it? You know, you have to use really good passwords and really good configurations. You can do that. And you actually use local chips in the cameras where it actually records the video to the cameras and then streams it back to you via the app. There's no cost for the app and there's no cost for the streaming. There's no monthly cost to have this on. It works beautifully without any cost. Now, you got to wonder, why are they doing that for free?
You're right. What's the gain for them?
Yeah.
They're buying the cameras, I guess, initially.
Yeah, but I haven't bought another camera for years, so why give me cloud access? I mean, they're making the cloud accessible for my app to speak to my cameras, and then they're moving that data. That data doesn't get moved. I mean, I would think it goes through their cloud, so they got to maintain that. Why would they do that? Out of the kindness of their little
good
hearts?
Good question.
Yeah.
What was that brand again?
RealLink is what I've found to be okay. And there's some good doorbell cameras if you want to stay away from the popular ones that are out there. There's a good one that I like called SkyLink, I think it's called. Hang on. I haven't looked at it in a while. SkyBell, I should say. Again, no... SkyBell.
SkyBell.
Yeah, it does a good job. Again, no monthly costs, no fees.
Yeah. So,
I mean, again, I don't think we're going to get away from the possibility of... And this is what the FBI has talked about. CIS has talked about. The Chinese are probably staging all sorts of things in our infrastructure, and we just don't have the imagination yet to think what they're going to do with them. Who knows what's in there? But you're right to be concerned about it. But there's no American companies building anything anymore.
So, not cameras.
No.
Well, let's give it. Ring is at least owned by Amazon.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not saying that makes them trustworthy, but at least it takes China off the plate. Mostly, maybe not even entirely, but mostly.
Yeah. Hope that helps you, Jason.
Well, gave me a couple of devices to take a look at.
All right,
would settle the concerns of the spying and the hacking, but
probably not.
I don't know if you ever can.
All right, we got to go. We'll be right back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings. Buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties. Buy two, get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here till 11. And it's funny that Carolyn's playing something about miles.
Right. That's why I'm laughing right
There's
now.
There's a story that Dennis wants to chat about that we've talked about a little bit before, but something going on with Subaru.
This is specific to Subarus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, recent models that have internet connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
There's a feature in them called Starlink.
Everything's Star.
Which is a familiar name because that's Elon Musk's... satellite ISP, but in this case, it's Subaru's connection to their cars.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
It's wonderful that they're connected,
right? They're so connected.
Yeah. However, it turns out that there was kind of a flaw in their web portal, and it was possible until this flaw was fixed.
Yeah.
It was possible to hack into their web portal and track any Subaru, its entire location history.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, there were even ways to remotely unlock them, things like that.
Yeah.
They have since fixed this flaw. And now, you know, we see a story about it because the researchers that found it and disclosed it because now it's safe because nobody's going to be using the same flaw.
Right.
But it goes to show you the vulnerabilities behind all this. I mean, all it takes is there to be a little bit of a flaw in somebody's web server, and bang, it doesn't matter what other security measures they have in place.
Right.
There's an open door for somebody to come in and get the data and even tamper with people's cars.
And
this is crazy stuff.
And did you know that your car had all that data that was being made available to Subaru?
I almost guarantee that the drivers did not know that they were collecting all this data.
Right. We've already had stories about GM doing this. We've had stories about Allstate doing this.
That's why this is not really a surprise. It's just another in a long chain of stories that are all very, very similar.
You didn't sign up for that when you decided to make a payment on a car. You never thought in a million years, I'm sure, that your location history for the past year will be stored by Subaru. Right? That's not a good idea, right? It's none of their business. Why do they have that business?
Right. Why don't they ask me if I want that done?
Well, because they know the answer.
And I can say yes or no. Well, right. I mean, maybe they can convince me to let them do it. They pay me something.
There you go.
But at
take
any 20% rate.
off your payment.
Sure.
There you go.
At any rate.
That's different.
The drivers didn't know any of this. I guarantee it.
No. And again, you're worried about it being breached. This was wide open. These researchers found the information right there. They were able to access it. So it's... this is a big thing when it comes to cybersecurity. And I talk to our clients all the time. Don't have data on your systems if you don't need it. All it is a liability if you were breached, right? So if you have social security numbers, people's photo IDs, and you don't need them on there for any reason, why would you store that data? Why would you store their credit cards? Why would you store that information if you're never going to review it again? You're never going to look at it again. All it does is give you more liability if somehow you're breached.
Right.
So nowadays we have to be a little more thoughtful about the data we hang on to.
Right.
Just because we could save it doesn't mean we should save it, is what I'm getting at.
Correct.
What else you got there, Dennis, as we still wait for calls? 860-522-9842 is the number.
Well, the North Koreans are still playing their games.
Yeah.
We've heard before about how their own IT workers will farm themselves out to different companies, usually in United States, Canada, or Europe.
Right.
And they'll just hire themselves out for coding jobs,
right.
You know, computer coding jobs that they do remotely, of course.
Yeah.
Most of them are actually based in China because, as we know, North Korea doesn't really have an internet presence.
No.
At any rate, and then they work for these companies and they take their money and they shove it into the coffers of Kim Jong-un because he's the dear leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we found out is that a lot of the machinations are a little bit more involved and they've come to be a little bit more extortionist.
Okay.
Now,
so they get hired by a company.
They get hired by a company.
This is, again, North Koreans, not people you want to hire.
Uh-huh. And they're, to be fair, they hide their true nature and they provide fraudulent documents to explain who they are, and they don't seem to be North Koreans.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, once they get in the door, they grab all the data that they can, and then they extort the company to pay them.
Right. Hey, did you know I was a North Korean and I got all your data?
Yeah, and I've got all this data for some kind of development project that I'm involved with, and I'm going to go dump it on the dark web unless you pay me $1 million.
Right. In crypto, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Always.
A million? $1 million? Well,
that is whatever the amount is.
That is not enough.
Extorting from companies.
Imagination, $1 million.
At any rate, there's a story about this, and it turns out that this scheme apparently goes back to 2018.
Oh, wow.
So this has been a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long-term project of the North Korean government.
Right.
And they are actively going after any and all companies that they can extort. And they want that crypto.
They want that crypto.
They want their crypto.
So if you're hiring a North Korean, beware. They
Well, you don't necessarily know that they're North Korean. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You have to be able to penetrate the guys.
Right.
And anybody who's doing hiring for... remote workers on a software development project.
Right.
You've got to have measures in place to detect this.
Well, they were shipping the laptops to these people.
Well, that's true. But they were being hired originally because they got, they were fraudulently putting themselves out as from Japan or South Korea or something like that.
So.
And that is where the rubber meets the road. And that's where these companies have to be.
Right.
In order to prevent it, they need to know that they're being scammed in the first place.
And there's a lot of that going on LinkedIn, too. There's a guy even on our LinkedIn under Tab Computer System, this guy from Turkey. he says he works for Tab. And I have told LinkedIn 15 bazillion times, and they've removed him probably 4 or 5 times. There's another one. Supposedly, we have a Johannesburg person from that works at Tab. But these two people that are there, I keep telling LinkedIn, this is not our... a person that works at our company. He's been removed numerous times. But Link, this is the issue with these companies. You want to have a professional social network, right? The idea here is to work with real people. They talk about verification and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
This guy, I have told them numerous times, he doesn't work for us. And they still leave him listed there. Now, why is he doing it, right? He's doing it for all sorts of reasons. And we don't know exactly all the reasons, right? But it's what these people do. And they act like they're working for a legit company. Then maybe they get hired by another company or maybe they embed somewhere. Who knows who this guy is, right? But LinkedIn is allowing them to claim they work for Tab. So this is happening across the bigger the companies, the more problematic it is. So,
oh, yeah.
And again, LinkedIn's process is garbage for you to tell somebody this person is fake. So beware of what's out there. All right, we're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines wide open. You guys are all, what was it? Herfagurken? Herkelderkelen. Thank you, Carolyn. You're all Herkelderkelen. Herkelderkelen. It was Morgan's story. I mean, and this is what's going on. So if you're all hanging out in bed there, give us a ring. We're happy to help you out. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and you guys are woken up from your herkle-derkle-in, and calls are coming on in, so I'll take them as we can once Carolyn gets them over to us. As we wait for her to do that, real quick, Microsoft, the first releases they did for bug fixes, 161 security updates.
Oh.
Right?
Oh.
These are actively being actively attacked. Vulnerability, 0 days. 161 of those came out on the 14th.
Oh.
And these are privileged access bugs.
Right.
So basically, these are bugs whereby the bad guy is already in your system, and then he's trying to leverage these vulnerabilities within the Microsoft software to give him more power, more access. And by doing that, he can then do more things on your system once he's in. But he gets in first, and then he leverages these bugs because, again, Microsoft has so many problems with the operating system, and they constantly have to release these fixes and patches. But 161, and we'll put a link up here for Brian Krebs. You should read these articles just so you understand what we in the IT world are dealing with on a regular basis. We can spend all our time and energy trying to protect you from stuff, but this is the operating system itself.
Right. And until Microsoft released these fixes, none of them was known to us.
Right.
So it's not like we can protect you from them.
Right. There's 0 days.
There's 161 weaknesses out there.
Right.
That we literally could do nothing to help you with.
Right. That were actively being exploited.
Right.
So let's get to your calls here. Bill out there in Southington wants to talk about Subaru. What's going on, Bill?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I have a brand new Subaru with Starlink.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm aware of the issue that you spoke about a few minutes ago.
Mm-hmm.
I bought my Subaru last summer, and it came with Starlink. It was free for 3 months, and then you have to renew it. And I didn't bother renewing it.
Right.
And then recently, I got a letter from my insurance company asking me if I had Starlink, if I was subscribing to Starlink.
I wonder why they want to know.
They give me a discount my premium if I have Starlink. And in addition to Starlink tracking your location,
mm-hmm.
it has a number of anti-theft features where they can remotely immobilize the engine. If you're in an accident and the airbags go off, they'll call 911. I wound up renewing it for a year, and the price was $150 for mm-hmm. a year.
All right.
So, and also with Starlink, Subaru is able to update the firmware in your car remotely through Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds a little bit like Tesla.
Tesla and OnStar.
Yeah. So you don't have to bring it into the dealer to have the software updated, because I had my software. There was an issue, a connectivity issue between iPhones and Apple CarPlay in the Subaru, and they did a software update to fix that. But yeah. I had to bring it into the dealer.
Well, that's the other thing, too.
There are conveniences to this. I would never argue that there aren't.
But let's put it this way. I'm a geek. I know how to update software. I can connect my wife's car to our internet and do the update. It's not like it's rocket science. You just follow the prompts. You're doing a firmware update, right?
Well, the question is, would they let you do it? What you're talking about is what they might call side loading.
No. Yeah. It's right on the car itself.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah, it's right there on the car itself. It's connected to the internet, and it won't let me finish the updates. It's frustrating as heck.
Oh.
And, of course, they want you to go to the dealer to do that.
Right.
And you know what? I understand, but, I mean, just to update the software, I haven't bothered to do it, and it's nothing's happening.
Right, and so. I talk about right to repair, but you're talking about right to update.
It's right
to
update.
You've already got and what you're already entitled to, theoretically, anyway.
And some of the safety features you're talking about are great, and we understand that. It's just the data, the tracking, all that stuff.
What surprised me was, my insurance company knew that I no longer was subscribing to Starlink.
That is surprising.
Yeah. Wow.
They're like, we want to track that bill, guys. He's hitting those brakes pretty hard.
Your insurance company wouldn't be Allstate, would it?
It's actually USAA.
Oh,
which
interesting.
Is, you know, a very good insurance company, but somehow they knew.
Interesting.
Well, they must have been buying the data from a broker.
Right.
And then the data stopped coming in, and they said, he must have let that lapse, so we're going to go bug him about it.
And I wonder, again, if your rates are impacted. Who knows?
Like I said, it did state that I would lose a discount on my premiums if I did not renew the Starlink. So I did.
Interesting. So, they're going to force this technology then.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks for the update.
Yep. Enjoy the day.
Thanks. You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So they're going to say, okay, we're going to give you a discount. We want to make sure we pay attention to how you're driving. And then if you don't do it, we're going to increase the rate. But then you're kind of darned if you do, right? Because you're when you sign the EULA, you're saying, well, all my information is yours. Go ahead.
Right.
So, surveillance state is becoming a big, big thing. Let's go to Stefan quick. What's going on, Stefan? We're coming up near the top of the hour here.
Yep. Okay. Somebody didn't read 1984. Anyway.
yes, we anyway, all did. Yeah.
I think I talked to Dennis on the Facebook side about this.
Hmm.
Microsoft said that they were ending like the cheapo $2.99 a month or something word access.
Okay.
And that I had to get like a single user license for Office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now here's the thing. I don't want it on my new computer, which I guess I attached it to. Can I put it on my old computer?
Well, if you buy a retail copy of Office, which I think I was suggesting, you would be able to install it on one computer only. So I would just install it on the one computer that you're going to have it on going forward. Moving it from one computer to another is possible, but once in a while you'll run into activation problems with that. And I would not push that because the only way to get help with it is to call Microsoft. You can't even call us because we can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
I've you know, working for our customers, I've had to call Microsoft for help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have there's nothing that I can do specifically other than best practices. But at any rate, that is the story with the retail license.
All right. So on the new computer that I have, the music computer, I'm trying to get rid of a lot of software because that's what they say to do, get rid of a lot of software. So this Office thing isn't going to, like, I can get rid of certain programs in the Office, right? Like Teams. I don't need that.
Oh.
All I need is the Word for the year.
Mm-hmm. All right. When it comes to Office, I don't think they make it possible to remove, you know, like Excel,
right,
PowerPoint, Outlook specifically. I'm pretty sure that Teams is a separate product, and you can uninstall that. They haven't completely integrated it into the Office suite yet. They probably will at some point.
Yeah.
I don't think that's happened. So, yes, you would be able to uninstall that. But if what you want is Word, then unfortunately you're going to have to install Office.
Yeah.
And with all that includes, which is Excel and Outlook in some cases and other stuff.
Microsoft 365.
Oh, all right. Well, that'll include Access and Publisher until they finally pull the plug on that, which is a travesty because that's actually a really good product.
Sure.
And people don't use it as much as they should. But that's another problem. At any rate, some of those titles you're going to end up having to keep anyway. Even if
but they don't
really
send you notifications or anything like that. I'm working on my digital audio workstation thing, they're not going to send me a notification, right?
About what?
I don't know.
Anything's possible
if
with Microsoft.
I knew, would I be asking?
Well, I was going to say there are notifications that are built into Windows.
Yeah.
Just having a Windows computer, they're going to prompt you to back your computer up with OneDrive.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know anything about Office specifically.
Yeah, maybe they're going to notify you.
Because the DAW program says get rid of everything that you absolutely don't need that will like if I'm doing a recording,
right.
I don't need a notification to screw it up.
Oh, right. Yeah, I know. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good point. So
you can,
it could.
In the Windows Settings app, you can go in and you can disable notifications from almost any application that's installed. You just look in the list.
Awesome.
And you can turn off those notifications.
There you go, Stefan.
You can do that.
Now you can get your work done.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Saved
Stefan.
Again by technology. All right. Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Bye-bye. And thank you for calling in. I want to thank everybody for calling in on this Saturday morning. And thank Mike G for posting everything live over our websites and Facebook and the old X. I want to thank Carolyn for producing. And again, stick around. We'll be around next Saturday at the same time, same bat channel over here at WTIC News Talk 1080.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.